Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition, our second edition of Sports Talk with the Guys, Monday Night Football, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, of course, I'm your host, Roger Noriega. Roger the scorekeeper, Noriega, I should say. And we're going to be joined shortly with the regular cast of characters. I believe Senior Cuervo will be with us shortly, and a few other people will be joining us, so it's going to be good. Want to, of course, put a few announcements out there. You can find Sports Talk with the Guys on Facebook. You can find our sports feed, NDB Sports, and we are, as I mentioned, on Twitter and lots of other things. So you can obviously find NDB Media on ndbmedia.net and at twitter.com, it's NDB Media. So you can find us all over the place. We're just everywhere, folks. It just is, because we are. So we're going to be covering the Monday Night Football game tonight. We're also going to be going over what happened in this wonderful and glorious weekend. I myself spent quite a bit of time, both my wife and I did. We were watching the Indianapolis taking on the Denver Broncos. Wow, that was an entertaining game. It looks like the Marshal has finally overcome the Sheriff. I can say, oh, finally, just he beat him. Good for him, I suppose. Good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go over the scores. We're going to get into detail in a little bit. But for now, we're just going to give an overview of what happened this, as I mentioned, this glorious weekend. Wow, a lot of good stuff. Well, as you know, tonight, it's going to be the Minnesota Vikings 1-4 versus the New York Giants, who are 0-6. Wow, what a heck of a game. On Thursday, the Seahawks are now 6-1. They go and beat the the Arizona Cardinals, 34-22, and the Cardinals fall to 3-4. On Sunday, the Buccaneers lost to the Falcons, 23-31. Of course, the Buccaneers fall to 0-6, and the Falcons to 2-4. Wow, bummer. Also, the Redskins upset the Bears, 45-41. Wow, the Redskins are now 2-4. The Bears 4-3, and the Cowboys put it to the Eagles at Philadelphia, 17-3. Cowboys are now 4-3. The Eagles fall to 3-4. And what probably is an upset, quite a few people did call this one. I believe Cuervo called it, and I believe Brian did. I don't know who did, but a few people did. Jets, 30-27 over the Patriots in overtime. By a field goal, folks. Patriots fall to 5-2. Jets 4-3. Well, the Bills, unbelievably, beat the Dolphins 23-21. Bills now go to 3-4. Dolphins fall to 3-3. The Chargers, well, they were starting off at 2-3, and they're now 4-3 as they beat the Jaguars 24-6. Jaguars fall to 0-7. The Carolina Panthers even their record at 3-3 by doubling up on the St. Louis Rams 30-15. Of course, Bradford and his Rams now fall to 3-4. And two good teams, two 4-2 teams going against each other, were beaten by a field goal. The Bengals, 27-24 at Detroit. Wow. Bengals are 5-2. The Detroit Lions fall to 4-3. It was an offensive showing. There was a score in every quarter. The 49ers beat the Titans 31-17. 49ers are now 5-2. Titans 3-4. And later on in the game, Kansas City, wow, or later on in the evening, I should say, Kansas City edged the Texans 17-6. The Chiefs remain unbeaten at 7-0, and the Texans fall to 2-5. And in a game which even I luckily called, because everything else that I chose basically failed, it's no good, no good whatsoever. My picking this week was probably the most horrendous ever. Look, I went with the Patriots to win. What does that show you? The Steelers, I call this one, we're going to beat the Ravens 19-16. Steelers have now won 2 in a row. They're 2-4. And the Ravens, Baltimore, falls to 3-4. Wow. And then, of course, the Green Bay Packers, 31-13 over the Cleveland Browns. Packers are now 4-2. Browns fall to 3-4. Wow. Pretty crazy there. And in the game that we saw, which was a high-scoring affair, I did promise my wife there would be a lot of scoring. Of course, she stuck around, didn't realize I was talking about the football game scoring. After probably in the third quarter when she figured that out. Then she went to go watch her novellas. But hey, it is what it is. I think Mrs. Scorekeeper was still kind of happy. The Indianapolis Colts, 39. The Denver Broncos, 33. Of course, the Colts now are 5-2, and Denver falls to 6-1. Oh-hoo! Wow! Pretty crazy there, folks. So, let me see. I'm going to put an ad that we're on air. Yes, we are. Monday Night Football here. Got that one out on Twitter, Facebook, and on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to go over the standings now. Of course, in the American Football Conference, New England is 5-2, followed by the Jets 4-3, the Dolphins 3-3, and the Bills 3-4. In the AFC North, the Bengals 5-2, Baltimore and Cleveland are 3-4, and the Pittsburgh Steelers are following up at 2-4. In the South, the Colts are 5-2. Titans 3-4, the Houston Texans 2-5, and of course the Jacksonville Jaguars are 0-7. Dare I say, here is the first major proclamation, ladies and gentlemen. The Jacksonville Jaguars have been eliminated from playoff contention. In the AFC West, the Reales, as in the Royals, the Kansas City Chiefs are 7-0, followed by the Denver Broncos 6-1, the Chargers 4-3, and the lowly Raiders are 2-4. But they believe they have their quarterback situation in order and lots of other things. So they're 2-4. Good for them. In the National Football Conference, the Dallas Cowboys 4-3. This is the East. Philadelphia Eagles 3-4. The Washington Redskins are 2-4. And the New York Giants are 0-6. We're going to watch that game. Don't know why, but we are. The Green Bay Packers in the North are 4-2, followed by the Detroit Lions and Chicago Bears, who are also 4-3. Minnesota Vikings are 1-4. They're playing tonight, as I mentioned. In the NFC South, Nolens 5-1, followed by Carolina 3-3, the Atlanta Falcons 2-4, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 0-6. In the NFC West, we have the Seattle Seahawks, I keep wanting to say the Mariners, are 6-1. The San Francisco 49ers are 5-2, followed by the lonely St. Louis Rams and Arizona Cardinals, both tied at 3-4. Wow. I know we were looking at a team last week. I don't know if it was the New York Jets or the Philadelphia Eagles that on the road, they're just invincible. At home, they suck. I know I said that. And yes, here it is. The Eagles, yeah, they're 3-1 on the road. It's kind of cool, and they're 0-3 at home. So I guess they like being on the road. They like, fast food out there. Oh, of course, now I get a call from my significant little one saying that I need to pick her up now. She said she would be done at 4:30, so that is absolutely awesome. So I'm going to ask you to bear with me. I have to play a commercial or two. I have to find out exactly what's going on. So I'm going to ask you to just bear with me for a moment.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Ground beef, refried beans, guacamole, cheese, sour cream, and if there's any room left, a few shreds of lettuce.
I don't see no lettuce.
A culinary creation that baffles the human mind. A 12,000 calorie salad.
Ah, caramba.
Some may ask, is your taco salad healthy? Of course it is. It's a salad, isn't it?
You can eat that deep fried crunchy bowl.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, conquistador of the calorie. You put the feast in fiesta.
Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Really, Really, Really Bad Dancer.
Mr. Really, Really, Really Bad Dancer.
Arms swinging, knees bending, head bobbing to no particular rhythm. You're either dancing or you have fleas.
Call me a doctor.
As soon as you hit the dance floor, the taunts begin. Is that all you got, playa? Unfortunately, yes. that's all you got.
Pour it on now.
Who's in the house? Some guy who can't dance. That's who's in the house.
You're done.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Happy Feet, because you really put the oogie in boogie.
Mr. Really, really bad dancer.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, of course, I'm back right now, and as usual, glorious times when you have little girls that sign up for stuff and then their teachers just don't seem to show up for some reason. Well, what a glorious event. So, I don't know what I'm going to do. I guess we'll do this.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, no, no, no. We actually cannot play that one. That is obviously a Star Trek program. Well, we're just going to play it by ear, folks. We're going to be right back. We ask you to bear with us, and we do apologize for this delay. We should be back shortly.
This is an NDMedia breaking news alert.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Yep, there were some issues. And I'm sending a message to Cuervo. Try again, please. So we'll see what we'll have going on right now. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be going over the Monday Night Football game. Obviously, as you know, we did have a few technical difficulties, but life is good in the hood. So I'm going to play a quick commercial break. Ask you to bear with us just one moment.
Is anyone out there? This is the Nathaniel County Sheriff's Office. Is anyone out there? We were surrounded by the dead. They were in rioters, what we were told. We have survivors here. Civilians, women, children. Is anyone out there?
Follow the story in the Ragnarok Rising Saga by D.A. Roberts. Available on Amazon, Smashwords, Barnes & Noble, and BooksAMillion.com. Visit RagnarokRising.Weebly.com.
Black is back, and only at Quiznos. It's the Black Angus on Rosemary Parmesan. Quality, thick sliced Black Angus steak topped with melted mozzarella and cheddar. Try it. You're gonna like it. Quiznos. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. Toasty.
How do you make a tasty sub? There's the Quiznos way, and there's wrong way.
Hello.
Quiznos uses meat sliced fresh daily. Wrong way uses shingle-packed meats in a bag. Quiznos uses bread made especially for toasting. At wrong way. And now, fresh out of the Quiznos oven, is our new peppercorn parmesan turkey with bacon sub. Only $3.49 for a... what the? For a limited time only at Quiznos.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it. That's the ad for the morning, but we're going to make sure we get everything going. But before anything else, before it even gets to the minute, we're going to bring him on now.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
Folks, ladies and gentlemen, he is the man of the hour. He is the football guru. He is Senor Cuervo. Morning.
Well, good evening to you. Well, afternoon to you, scorekeeper. It's afternoon still in California, but I was freaking out for a minute. I said, I cannot hear anything. I was about to throw my phone out the window and let some car run over it, but I wanted to check with you first before I did that, so... But we're on now. It doesn't matter. And a good afternoon to you. How was your day?
Very well, Cuervo. Thank you. I had a lot to do, and I still am stuck in the morning. So, hey, look, whenever I say morning, all I can say is I get it right half the time. So cut it out.
That's okay. You get it. You get it right. You get it 50% right 100% of the time.
That's right. I appreciate that, Cuervo. I will tell you that when the program began, I did go over the scores and I did go over the standings. And after that, we had some technical difficulties, but we're back on. So I did not go over any games in particular. As I mentioned, I just went over the scores. And, yeah, it was good. By the way, I hope Mrs. Cuervo's birthday was fun yesterday.
It was. You know, we had some breakfast and we went to go see a movie. And then after that, I actually got a little treat myself and I got to watch a little bit of the Bears game. I watched the end of the Bears lose and I watched the second half of the afternoon games, and then we had a nice dinner. So that was how we ended our night, and it was very nice. So she was happy, which made me happy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cuervo is our, let's see, I can't say it. Yeah, he's our G-rated guy. Couch Potato is our PG. Big Dog is also our G-rated guy. But if you want X or triple X or R, that's me, folks. And when Cuervo hung up yesterday, I sang to you, baby. Yeah, the minute it was funny because you actually got off the phone. I didn't sing happy birthday either, but I'm going to be embarrassed. I'm going to embarrass you now so you can listen to it later because there is proof I did it. Cuervo said, oh, you know what? Got to go. It's her birthday. We all celebrated her birthday. And he was off. He was gone. He had a lot of stuff to do. And before Couch Potato could say anything, I was like, Cuervo's going to get some. Cuervo's going to get Oh, my God, I can't believe I did. I just did. I think I said it like three times. Everyone died laughing. So, ladies and gentlemen, Cuervo's the G. I'm the X. So we're going to go on Monday Night Football, folks. Wow. I think that's the most exciting thing right there, Monday Night Football. What do we have tonight,
yeah.
Cuervo?
well, scorekeeper, I wish I could talk a little more highly about this game, but God almighty. We're talking – we get to see two teams tonight, scorekeeper, that have combined one win. One win in 12 games. How bad is that?
I didn't think about that, Cuervo. You're right. The numbers were right there. We are in week 7, ladies and gentlemen, and combined teams have won. I don't – oh, wow. Yeah, that's pathetic. I'm not even – You got me on that one, Cuervo. I didn't see that one. It was staring me in the face. I mean, this is not going to change the playoff run for any team, is it?
Well, you know what? I mean, as crazy as it sounds, okay, if the Giants win this game tonight, they're only 3 games out of it, and we're only in week 7. So the Giants have an outside chance of still getting back in the race in the NFC East. I don't see it happening, though. I just think they have way too many problems. But the same thing with Minnesota. I mean, the best team or the first place is the Green Bay Packers at 4-2. If Minnesota wins tonight, then they're only 2 games out of first. So as bad as it looks, believe it or not, these two teams are still in it some way, somehow. But I don't see either one of these teams making the playoffs. So with that being said, yeah, it's going to be some crappy football tonight. I'm sorry. It's not going to be good. We're probably going to see a high-scoring game because neither team can play any decent defense. And I guess if you're into that, hey, you might be looking forward to this game. Or if you're a fantasy player and like I am and you have people playing tonight, then you're paying attention to it. So. But my God, combined one win between these two teams. You know the thing that's most surprising about it, though, scorekeeper, is these were two teams that, you know, Minnesota made the playoffs last year. The Giants won the Super Bowl the year before that. I think that's the most surprising thing about it is just these teams have been successful recently, and this year they forgot how to play football.
Wow. Yeah, they forgot to play football. No doubt about it. Oh, excuse me. I hate it when this happens. I've got an actual commercial that's starting in the background. You don't hear it, do you?
No, I don't hear anything. I hear you talking.
Okay, sorry. It's just distracting me. Okay, it's gone now. It's from the site itself. Do want to welcome everyone who's both live and in the archive. Thanks for joining us in the chat room, Spiritual Health Institute. If you have a program on Blog Talk, put it in there. We may give you some play on air. Thanks for joining us. We're talking about Monday Night Football, as Cuervo was describing. These teams have forgotten how to play football. You know, Cuervo and Couch Potato had come up with a great phrase for the New York Giants for some time now, and they were the Jekyll and Hyde team because they would actually start off okay in the middle of the season. They would just bottom out, and then they would turn it around. Well, they were fairly consistent. I don't want to use the word consistent, but they were for a while, and now this year there is no first half. There is just the bottoming out. There is no way for them to go but up. Do they have a chance to make the playoffs? Well, they do. I do want to say, because I already called it, Cuervo, and I'm going to stand by it, I believe there is one team that has now been eliminated, and it is the Jacksonville Jaguars. Are you with me on that one, brother?
Oh, I've been on that since the preseason. I mean, I don't think anybody really expected a whole lot from Jacksonville. So,
so this wasn't a bold...
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you know, 0-7. I mean, the best they could do is 9-7. And with the division like the AFC South, where you've got, the Titans, and you have the Indianapolis Colts, who looks like they're the class of the division now.
Wow. Yeah, and you have the Texans as well. Yeah.
I don't see the Texans doing much this year, scorekeeper. They're, you know, they just offensively, they're not putting up a lot of points. And now they've lost Brian Cushing, their linebacker, again for the season. And, you know, that's because he's not able to take his little drugs anymore.
Oh, yeah. All right. I hear you. That was good.
So how's
okay.
That X-rated? How's that for you, huh? G-rated,
actually,
huh?
Cuervo, I am so impressed that I was like, oh, when have you heard me come up with a retort of, oh, I'm like, wow, that's very rare when I don't have anything to say, huh?
I've turned the page, scorekeeper, I've turned the page.
Yeah, but you're still the professional gentleman, old salt, dare I say, and I hope if there are any bad attitudes or anything, if they did come for me, I do apologize. I don't want to be any more responsible. But, folks, we are looking at a game that the teams are combined 1 and everything 0. They're just not doing very well. And we're going to be seeing some big names in this game, though. And the first two names that stand out, of course, are Eli Manning. And on the other side, the exact opposite of Eli Manning, someone by the name of Adrian Peterson, who we expected him to be human last week. And, you know, you know what happened, and he was. Cuervo and I had a conversation about this, and I know we said, hey, look, you know what? As coach, you don't expect him to do anything. You know, and being on the other side. I mean, Cuervo, as an opponent, how do you treat that guy, man? Even though he is the best running back in the world, how do you treat him, man? You don't really want to hit him hard, do you?
Why not? I mean, he's the best running back. I mean, that's how you beat teams. You have to take their best player out of the equation. And I don't mean by hitting him low and you know, breaking his leg. But I'm saying, do what you can to eliminate him from their game plan. It's going to be hard to do because he's AP. However, that's what you got to do.
Yeah, you're right. And Cuervo, and I apologize. I didn't make it clear. I think that's the game plan in every game. But I should have been more clear. I was referring to last Sunday, the week that he just found out that he had a child and he lost the child. And that's kind of what I meant, you know, as an opposing player. What do you do, dude? Or maybe that was your answer.
Well... Okay, well, I misunderstood, too. I thought you were just asking, well, how do you beat the Vikings? Well, that's pretty simple. But how do you actually stop Adrian Peterson? Well, scorekeeper, that's the ninth wonder of the world. And I don't think any way to really do it. I mean, you just, you know how sometimes they say you can't stop this person, you can only hope to contain him? That's the category that Adrian Peterson is in. I mean, you can't really stop him. You just have to hope that you can somehow contain him and limit him to what he can do. Because, now I'm not saying he runs on everybody for 100 yards, but you really have to be really fortunate for that to happen. And right now, the way the Giants defense is playing, I don't see them stopping AP. I think he's in for a pretty big night. And, you know, let's not just pay attention to AP, their scorekeeper. You know, we have to also remember tonight is the debut of Josh Freeman in a Vikings uniform. So I think that plays a factor as well.
Yes, you're so right. Now, Cuervo, is he actually going to be starting for the team, or is it still going to be Christian Ponder? Oh, he is.
No, Freeman's starting. He is starting tonight.
Wow, so yeah, that definitely does change the dynamic. Well, just giving you some of the numbers, ladies and gentlemen. For Adrian Peterson, he's only carried the ball 102 times for 483 yards. He is averaging 4.7 yards, and he has 5 touchdowns. And that's the guy that we were talking about now. We'll go over all the other players in a moment. But Eli Manning, he has 1,721 total yards on 123 for 229 on the passing. He has 9 touchdowns. But what doesn't show right away is, oh, my God, I think he has 16 interceptions, right?
Yeah, it's like 15 or 16. Either way, he's leading the NFL in the wrong categories.
Yeah, that's pretty sucky. And right now, I know I'm jumping all over the place, but when Cuervo was talking about the numbers, when you look at the New York Giants, they are 0-6. Washington is 2-4. Philadelphia is 3-4. And Dallas is 4-3. They're within striking distance right now, actually, if they start to win, and maybe they can. Whereas in, as Cuervo mentioned also, for the NFC North, Green Bay is 4-2. Detroit 4-3. Chicago 4-3. And then you have Minnesota 1-4. So to write both of these teams off, actually, you would be stupid to do so. They could actually turn it around. But I think the team that has the better chance would be the Giants. I think they have a balanced – oh, I didn't want to say that, but they're better off than the Vikings, right?
Well, when you talk about balance, yeah, they're better. They're a better balanced team. I mean – who would you rather have as your quarterback, Eli Manning or Josh Freeman? And don't even pay attention to the numbers. I mean, just look at them on the field. Who would you rather have, Eli Manning or Josh Freeman? I mean, and that should answer your question.
Yeah.
I just think that's what you have to look at.
Yeah, folks, when you start looking at some of the other numbers now, I mean, look, there are times when it doesn't matter what the numbers are. You've got to go with the guy. And he is your starter. Eli Manning against Josh Freeman, give me a break. I take him twice on Sunday. Every day of the week and twice on Sunday. Now, the New York Giants have been outscored 209 to 103. That's a minus 106 in the points. Minnesota, get this, has scored 125 points, but they've only given up 158, which is a minus 33 mark. So that's interesting. That means they're playing better defense, but their passing defense is atrocious. And I think Eli is set up to have a big game passing-wise. What do you think, Cuervo?
Well, one thing you have to remember, too, scorekeeper, is when you're looking at points and stuff like that, don't forget, Minnesota's already had their bye week. So imagine if they hadn't had their bye week yet. They probably would have scored some more points, obviously. But I definitely think they would have gave up more, too. So you're looking at the Giants' numbers through 6 games, and you're looking at the Vikings through 5 games. So that's one thing you have to factor in as well.
Oh, most definitely. And, yeah, well, in one game more, the Giants have one loss or two losses more. So, it's folks, it's going to be a game where there's going to be a lot of offense. There's going to be very little defense. You know, you have some of the better receivers in the games. You know, tell me about Jerome Simpson. This guy has 372 yards. He hasn't scored any touchdowns, but how good is Jerome Simpson for the Minnesota Vikings?
Well, I think he's a guy that I wouldn't say, you know, keeps the offense together, but I think he's a guy that can, you know, he's the guy that creates opportunities for AP and Greg Jennings and some of the other star players, the tight end, Rudolph. I mean, Simpson may not be the star player, but he's, you know, on team scorekeeper. You have, I mean, just like in, kind of like in baseball where you don't, they may not be the best player, but they're role players. They're guys that do a certain part to set things up for your stars. And that's Jerome Simpson. He's the number two receiver on the team. And if he can get open and catch a couple of passes tonight, that'll open up things for Jennings and for the tight end Rudolph. So Simpson is the guy that will set things up for the other guys.
I hear you. All right. Like that one. Now, over on the other side, you have Victor Cruz, Hakeem Nicks, Ruben Randall, and then, of course, you have Brandon Myers. I mean, there are other Minnesota receivers, but I'm just going to these guys. They've racked up quite a bit more yardage. Cruz has 541, Hakeem Nicks 442, and Randall 333. These are those aren't bad numbers when you go through six games.
No, and I mean, it's because they're the total opposite of the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, the Minnesota Vikings, they're a running football team for obvious reasons. And the Giants, you know, they don't have a running game. Their running game is horrible. So that, you know, that makes Eli Manning have to throw the ball that much more. I mean, if you look at Christian Ponder and Matt Castle's numbers, I mean, those guys, they, you know, combined probably don't have as many passing yards as Eli Manning does because, you know, the Vikings are a running football team, you know, and the Giants are a passing team. So, I mean, they're total opposites when it comes to offense.
And Cuervo, to support that, total yards per game, I'm going to give the Vikings and the Giants total yards per game, 338 to 340. Wow. Passing yards, 222 for the Vikings, 272 for the Giants, and then rushing yards, 116 for the Vikings and 67 for the Giants. Exactly what you just said.
Yeah, and I'm driving a car, scorekeeper. I'm not even looking at numbers right now. I just based on what I've seen on the field. I mean, you know, the running backs are. I mean, you want to talk about a depleted run game? The Giants are the prime example of a team that has absolutely zero run game. I mean, their running backs suck. I mean, they had to bring Brandon Jacobs off the street, scorekeeper, who was probably not in shape, but they had to get him in shape real fast. And, I mean, that's the only way the Giants are going to survive this year is if their passing game looks like, you know, the 49ers of the 80s or, you know, one of the great passing teams in NFL history. If it's not looking like that, then the Giants are in trouble. I mean, they're just way too one-dimensional. They have no running game, and that's why they're not as, you know, they're not winning football games.
When you look at it further, points per game, the offensive comparison, 25 to 17. Third down conversions, the Minnesota Vikings are running at an almost 40% clip on third down conversions, and the Giants are at 31, almost 32%. And when you look at time of possession, again, they're almost right on there. They're separated by 6 minutes, 1576 to 1570. Statistically, this is pretty cool as to how close they are in a lot of these numbers. And when you want to get into defense, well, then it starts to get ugly. But I want to get your comments on some of the other offensive numbers I just mentioned.
Well, I mean, you think about time of possession, and I mean, I think Minnesota, you know, has the advantage in that as far as tonight's game is concerned. I mean, just because of the way they can run the football. And now they have a running quarterback. So I think you could see a situation where instead of having to rely on Ponder to get the ball to his receivers to convert third down, now you got Josh Freeman, who is known for converting third and fives on scrambles or third and fours on scrambles. And I mean, I think that could allow Minnesota to, you know, move the chains and allow more opportunities for points. So I think when you look at tonight's game, you know, scorekeeper, what the Giants are going to have to do is they're going to have, you know, designate a linebacker to keep an eye on Freeman and not allow him to do that. Now, if the Giants don't do that, then they're only shooting themselves in the foot.
Wow. All right. On defensive comparison, when you look at the teams, and again, so I'm going to give the Vikings and the Giants, total yards per game allowed, yeah, this is a lot, folks. These guys are very charitable, 418 to 391. Passing yards per game, 308 for the Vikings, 268 for the Giants. It's actually, yeah, they're bad. Rushing yards per game allowed, 110 for the Vikings, 123 for the Giants. And points allowed, well, here we go again. 31, almost 32 points for the Vikings and 35 points for the Giants. And third down conversion percentage allowed. The Vikings are allowing almost 50% conversions against them on third down. And the Giants are at 49% conversion. Yeah, Cuervo, right there, that tells me those are losing teams.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, those are some atrocious numbers. I mean, those are ugly. My God, ugly. And, you know, it's just not adding up. I mean, you cannot play defense like that and expect to win football games. I mean, it's just not going to happen. So, you know, these defenses are going to – I'm surprised that Minnesota's defense has given up that much in the passing game. I thought they were better than Wood. Apparently not. So I find that very interesting that Minnesota's defense, the passing defense actually gives up more than the Giants' defense does because, I thought the Giants' defense was worse, but sounds like Minnesota's, you know, right there with them.
Well, yeah. And then remember, Cuervo, also these numbers could be where they could have really have just been torched in one game and the numbers just go higher. Remember that, too. Everything's just average. It's 308 to 268 for passing. And then for rushing, it's 110 for the Vikings and 123 for the Giants in yards given up. That's a lot, man. You're 400 yards per game combined both teams are giving up. You don't win doing that.
No, you don't. And I mean that's why, you know, these two teams have a combined one win this season. And I think you do have a good point though, because the Giants, the one game that they did get torched, like you said, I mean they did play the Denver Broncos. So that's part of why their numbers are so bad. And I mean they've played every game horribly. You know, I mean, they haven't won a game yet. So, I mean, the Giants are just, they're just not playing good. You know, they're not doing anything right. You know, something that I brought up to Sonny, and it's a concerning thing if you're a Giants fan. You know, players have come out, scorekeeper, and they said that they're not playing hard for their teammates. They're not having each other's back. I mean, that's like, you're breaking the code right there. When you do that, when you say, hey, man, I don't have your back, to your teammate, your brother, that you go out there and you go out there and you play with every day, and practice with every day, that's a big-time code that you're breaking. And that's, Tom Coughlin asked to, he has to stop the bleeding, like, now, because it's not looking good for him as far as him being able to keep his job in New York.
Yeah, Cuervo, when you play on team sports, it's understood. The minute that guy does not have your back, that changes everything, and you can't go back to it either. That is, yeah, for them to say that, I was a bit surprised when I heard that, when you guys reminded me. I myself said, I think Tom Coughlin's gone. First of all, because the team is in bad shape, and two, because these players are actually saying that. I mean, you know, for the players to actually say it, that, oh, I can only imagine what that clubhouse is like. I can only imagine, and wow, that is no fun place to be, huh, Cuervo?
No, it's not, scorekeeper, and, you know, just to put it in, you know, easy terms, I'll say it in Spanish, no bueno. That's what that is. This is not good. This is not good at all. I mean, like you said, I mean, you can feel that way behind closed doors. Like, man, I don't care about, you know, having these guys back. But when you come out and say it, that opens up the you know, Pandora's box, if you want to call it that. And, you know, that just, it does not make Tom Coughlin look good at all. He's lost,
no.
He's lost control of his team. He's lost control of his team, and I don't really think there's much he can do about it.
Yeah, once that box is open, Cuervo, it is. And speaking of opening our own box, we may have our own Pandora box as well. Give me one quick moment. We're going to bring them in right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Just a good old boy. Never meaning no harm.
Oh, no, not at all.
Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born.
Been in trouble with the law. Good morning, Brian. Thank you for joining us. And before I let you come in, Brian, over the last 2 weeks, it's been funny. Last week, I believe it was Cuervo that was sending us messages when we were live, and it was so funny. We were doing the live program, and Cuervo was responding to us. And then yesterday, or on Saturday, when you were stuck at DMV, you were sending us messages too. And Cuervo, or Brian, yeah. Brian, I only have to say, that one that you texted me, I said, oh, I'm not going to say this one on air.
you know, man,
what I'm talking about. That was hilarious.
I know. I didn't get a response, man. I didn't get a response. I'm disappointed.
Dude, Cuervo, I'll tell you off air what he told me. Well, unless he wants to say it on air, but I'll tell you off air what he said. I mean, I even said, well, I'm not responding to this one, baby. It was funny. It was one of my...
So Roger, you and I have been hot so far in this football pick'ems guy. Me and you have been dominating.
Well, I've been following a lot of your picks, and we've been okay, but I kind of got crushed this last week, dude. You only heard like three of the ones that I called. On everything else, I think I was lit up like a Christmas tree in July.
Well, the bottom line is, who are you calling tonight?
Well, that's what we're talking about, Brian. We've got Cuervo, myself, and now you join us. We've been talking about some of the players, some of the numbers right now. We've already given the general offensive and defensive stuff. Why don't you give us your outlook right now?
Well, I mean, you got two bad teams. I watched Carolina. I'm only going to be able to stay a minute. I'm umpiring right now. But the Vikings last week with Adrian Peterson's son's death, you thought they'd come out and play better. They laid an egg at home against Carolina. The Giants showed some signs of life against the Bears last Thursday night. And bottom line is this. The Giants have to win a game. They have to win one day. And I think tonight's the night they're home against a very bad defense. So I think Eli Manning can score some points tonight. This is going to be a higher-scoring game, but the Giants finally win one.
Wow. Okay. I'm actually kind of hoping on that one, too. So what are you figuring that we're – is Eli going to tear up the defense? Is that what you're saying? He's just going to light them up?
I do. Yeah, I think tonight's the night. It doesn't mean anything when they win. They're 1-6. It doesn't mean anything. But, yeah, this is the night he comes out. Because you got to remember, his brother lost. Every night that Peyton has won, Eli's lost every week. So now that Peyton lost, Eli's going to win, guys. Think about it.
Wow. Okay. Well, then let's take that a step further. How do you stop Adrian Peterson? Can you contain him? Or is it going to be – it's not going to matter. He'll get his 100, 200 yards, but the Giants are still going to win.
Yeah, you have to load the box up. You have a new quarterback coming in. This is his first game. How well does he know the offense? All he's going to do is hand off to Adrian Peterson and maybe do some play action. So you load the box up and you sell out to stop the run if you're the Giants. That's your only shot.
Cuervo.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's like I mentioned earlier. I mean, now you, when you with the Vikings, you have, you know, running quarterback. So I think, like I mentioned, I mean, the Giants are going to have a linebacker designated to watch Freeman on third down, you know, third and short. Because if they don't, you know, all Freeman has to do is scramble for first down. So, and that allows Minnesota to keep their offense on the field and keep the Giants' defense on the field. So, I mean, loading the box, yes. Of course, that's the plan for the Giants. However, do they have the personnel to actually stop the Vikings from moving the ball? And, you know, the only thing with that is, you might catch the Giants off guard, and Freeman may hurt you with, you know, a couple of passes to the tight end. And I don't know. I think the Giants' defense is just—they're just bad overall. I don't know how they're going to be able to stop the Vikings.
Wow. All right. I hear you. As a matter of fact, we did lose Brian. He said he was going to be on with us for just a little bit. I want to take a moment and remind everyone you are listening to our Monday night special here on Sports Talk with the Guys. Cuervo, of course, is out in Chicago. I'm the scorekeeper out here in Los Angeles, and we're looking forward to a Monday night game of two alleged NFL teams. There are stars, but as Cuervo eloquently stated, they're a combined one win. I can't even say that in plural. They have one win. No, it's just they have one win. They're just not good at all. So Brian says it's going to be the Giants, and he's going to have a field day with the defense. I don't know, Cuervo. I'm indecisive on this. Do you know what it's going to be? Are you expecting the Giants to win this one?
No, I don't expect the Giants to win. Scorekeeper, I haven't seen any improvement from the defense. I mean, you could talk about, you know, Eli Manning throwing for four touchdowns, that's great. But is the defense going to stop the Minnesota Vikings from scoring? Eli can throw for four touchdowns, but if the defense gives up five, guess what? You still lose. So the defense, I have not seen any improvement at all whatsoever. So, I mean, until I see improvement, I don't think the Giants win a football game until their defense starts to play better. And, you know, right now they're just not playing good. So I'm going to go, I think I'm leaning towards the Minnesota Vikings winning.
You know, Cuervo, I'm leaning that way too, especially when you mentioned to me right before Brian came on that the team has, players have come out and said, said what they did, that they don't have other players' backs. And like we mentioned earlier, you referred to it as Pandora's box. I say the same thing. Once you actually utter that, there's no way you can get back to that. Clubhouse is in bad shape. Coughlin, I'll be shocked if he survives the season, but, you know, it is New York. Maybe he'll be gone. But I think he's lost control of this clubhouse. He's lost control of the team, and I don't see them turning it around. This is not the same team that has issues midseason. This is a team that is 0-6 and has had problems all year. And they're going to have to make some wholesale changes. I don't see them winning today. I'm going with Minnesota.
Yeah, and it's a good choice, scorekeeper. I mean, I can see where Brian's coming from. You know, they played well against the Bears. But at the end of the day, I mean, you got to think about two things. One, can the defense stop anybody? And two, is, you know, how many picks is Eli Manning going to throw tonight? I mean, that's the more interesting topic. It's not, hey, you know, X's and O's, who's going to win this matchup. How many picks is Eli going to throw tonight? Hey, let's put $10 on it that I think he throws two in the first quarter. I mean, that's what it's gotten to with the New York Giants. It's more about how many picks is Eli going to throw and how many points is the defense going to give up. That's what it's all about right now with the New York Giants.
Wow. Yeah, you're right, Cuervo. That's bad. When you look at Eli Manning, folks, He has 9 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. You were so right on that, Cuervo. 1,721 yards. His rating is 64%. Wow. Yeah, that's just bad. In his last 3 games, his rating has been 58.5 versus Chicago, 56.1 versus Philadelphia, and 64.8 in the loss versus Kansas City, which surprises me because that was probably his worst game. He had 1 touchdown and 3 interceptions last week, 2 touchdowns and 3 interceptions the week before, and, oh, okay, well, he only had 1 touchdown and 1 interception. That's why, in the Kansas City rate. So that's why his rating was higher. Jeez. Okay, fair enough. But he had 2 fumbles,
exactly.
And he lost them, though.
Right. And that's another big thing, too, scorekeeper, is the offensive line for the Giants. It's not the same offensive line that we're used to seeing from the Giants, you know, giving Eli that pocket to, you know, sit back and look for the open receiver. I mean, Eli, you're going to see it. You're going to see it right from the beginning. Eli is going to run for his life at least twice per possession. And that'll tell you part of the story in tonight's game is, you know, and that's what's causing Eli to make all these mistakes, scorekeeper. His offensive line is garbage. He has no time to let plays develop and let his receivers get open. And it causes him to throw the ball early. It causes him to throw the ball, in the wrong spots. It causes him to make bad throws. And that's what's causing all of these interceptions. It's the offensive line. The offensive line is, they're not protected. He's got a maximum of 3 to 4 seconds before he has to make a throw. So that's bad. And in the shotgun, too. That's bad.
You know, Cuervo, in the first game, he had 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Second game, 1 touchdown, 4 interceptions. 4 interceptions. Third game, no touchdowns, 1 interception. Fourth game, 1-1. Fifth game, 2-3. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
and I get where you're going with that.
Oh yeah.
I want you to take a look at another stat though. I want you to take a look at how many times in those games he was sacked, and you tell me what you think.
Wait a minute. That he was what? That he was back?
No, he was sacked by the defense.
Oh. Oh, okay. Let's see. Game 1, 3. Game 2, 1. Then 7. Then 3. Then 1-1. Wow. He's been sacked 16 times, Cuervo.
Yeah. And normally with the New York Giants, 16 sacks, that's what they give up in maybe 10 games. Normally, that's what the New York Giants do, but they've given that up in 6 games. So, you know, that tells part of the story as far as the Giants' offense.
Wow. Yeah, that's bad. That is bad. Huh. Well, there it is, folks. Eli Manning, wow. His 10th season, of course, we know he's from Isidore Newman High School in New Orleans, Louisiana. Wow, his college, Mississippi, not having a good year, folks. He's had 16 sacks for 104 yards. The numbers are just not there. It is ugly. He's being forced in situations. He has no protection up front. Even though Carolina did score 7 sacks, at least he didn't go down as badly as Terrell Pryor did when he went down for 10 sacks. Wow.
You know, against the Chiefs?
Yeah, I couldn't believe that, Cuervo. 10 sacks. I just didn't think that was possible.
Hey, you got to be proud of the Raiders, though, scorekeeper. They didn't lose yesterday, but they didn't win either.
Well, they didn't kiss their sister, Cuervo. That's because they weren't playing.
And that's what I'm saying. You got to be proud of your Raiders because, hey, at least they didn't lose. They just didn't
win. Wow. Wow. All right. Yeah, okay. Whatever. Hey, Cuervo, I told my wife about the theme. I'm not sure... Were you in on the conversation? when, oh, you may not have been, where Couch, but did you hear in Kentucky, they don't allow middle school players or high schoolers to shake hands after the game now?
I did hear about that, and I think that's pretty silly.
It is silly. It is stupid. And we, you know, Couch Potato was for it. This is why when I lose, I don't want to go out there. And, you know, I went on, of course, gave him my usual let's storm the beach speech, and he actually came over to my side. I was telling my wife after the game, and even she got mad. And then if the light clicked on both of our sides, I'm like, okay, Cuervo, I now know why they don't allow them to shake hands. Because, you know, over in Kentucky, right? You know, it's bad enough,
okay,
Cuervo, that you lose to your opponent. But when you lose to someone who could be your cousin, uncle, and brother at the same time, I understand why they don't want them to shake hands.
Oh, jeez. Oh, good one.
Sorry,
yeah,
dude.
They call them broncos. They call them broncos in Kentucky.
Broncos. I told Maggie, because she says, I'm surprised you didn't get that on air. I said, you know what? It just didn't hit me. That was so pissed at the fact that they're not shaking hands. So now we know why. Because, you know, hey, getting your butt kicked is one thing, but then having to say that. Yeah, there you go, folks. Now we understand why they don't allow it. Is there going to be any handshaking after this game, Cuervo?
See, I hate that, though. When people say, well, I don't want to shake the hand of somebody that beat me, it's competition, man. Shake your hand. Hey, thanks for bringing out the best in my game. That's the way I see it. Why not thank somebody for doing that? I mean, what, you want to blow teams out all the time? I bet you'll shake their hand then, right? I mean, it's, to me, I just think it's dumb when people say, like, oh, well, I want to shake the hand of somebody that beat me. It's like, well, okay, I get that. But at the same time, you have to think about it as they brought out the best in my game. Hey, thanks for, you know, making me put 100% into today's game or whatever. I don't know. I think it's people that don't want to shake hands. I don't care what angle you may want to take, or you can say it any way you want. At the end of the day, I just think people that don't want to shake the hands of somebody that may have beaten you, you're just a sore damn loser, period. That's all it is.
Yeah, why are you playing? Cuervo, your argument, I wish you would have been there, but the word you said was competition. That's what I told Couch Potato and everyone else. I said, guys, it's about the game. It's what
right.
you do on the field. It's not about shaking the hand of the guy that won or lost. It's acknowledging the combat that took place. You guys met on the field of combat, gave it your all, and when it was over, you walked away. You were able to walk away, and you're looking at the guy that brought it out in you. It's competition. And
exactly.
I was just disappointed. Yeah, that's what it's about, man. It's about knowing that you went to war with someone, and you guys walked away from it. That's awesome, man.
Right, and I mean, how do you know how great you can be if you've never been challenged, if you've never had any competition against somebody else? I mean, hell, you know, everybody lost to Michael Jordan in his day, but they all shook his hand at the end of the day. And even when Michael lost, I mean, you know, he didn't have any problem. He said, hey, I'm sure in the back of his mind, he's like, you know, you know, thanks for bringing out the best in me today. And, I mean, that's just what it's all about. I mean, I just think people who are against shaking hands and stuff like that, because you're a damn sore loser and you don't want to admit it. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. LeBron. Yeah, you're right. Cuervo, we've got about 17
minutes.
Let's not go
there. Let's not go there.
Yeah, I'm not. I did. I apologize. Pimps and Hoes, I am sorry, so we're not going to go there right now. Giants versus the Vikings. Wow. You are going to be watching the game. So am I, Cuervo. Any important things? I do agree that the Giants are going to have some offensive yardage, you know, passing, but I'm looking at Adrian Peterson returning to the guy that we know, and I think he's going to have the better day. That's just the way I see it, because this guy is giving up way too much interceptions. He has no line. No one is protecting each other. You know, Cuervo, I would like to get 10 guys right now, get together, put the pads on, and take on the Giants. Because if they don't have each other's backs, dude, you can beat them.
Right. And, I mean, that's – and what that tells you is that they have lost the concept of team sports. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, if you don't have each other's back, then why are you on the team? Why are you on that team for? I say, man, and I don't even care who it is. If you're not a part of the team, if you're not willing to have each other's back, then you need to go. You need to go and play golf or something, because that's an individual sport. It's an individual when you play the game of golf. It's all about you. It's all about yourself. You don't have any teammates unless it's like the Ryder Cup or whatever, but, I mean, you're in the wrong sport. If you are not willing to grasp the concept of teamwork, then you're in the wrong freaking business. Bottom line.
Yeah, you know, Cuervo, about that, number one, that isn't said, like you said. You're not supposed to say that. But two, I thought on a team, you're supposed to resolve those issues first. That means there are no leaders on this team, or if it's gotten to the point that they have tried to resolve those things and they're now saying it, yeah, Cuervo, those people have got to go. And I honestly, if they were guilty and they're jerks about it, I'd suspend them, Cuervo, for creating a hostile work environment for his fellow players.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what it is. Scorekeeper, okay? When it comes to leadership and team sports, all right, there's different ways to handle it, okay? When you're successful, yes, you know, everybody is like, oh, everything is great, and, you know, we're all pushing each other and things like that. Well, what about in adversity? What about in the bad times? Oh, well, now we got everybody pointing the finger at each other, okay? Now where's the leadership? You know, the leadership, when it comes to the situation in New York right now, Scorekeeper, to me, leadership is not about, hey, let's sit down, let's talk about this, and things like that. To me, I mean, it is, but I'm going to tell you the bigger factor in this. The Giants are losing football games, and nobody is taking accountability. And I think the biggest, the one that should be the most guilty is Eli Manning. You are the quarterback. You are looked upon as the leader. Hey, why are we 0-6? I don't know. Ask him. Well, I don't know. Ask the offensive line. No, dude. Hey, I got to play better. I got to, you know, get my teammates more motivated. If Eli Manning was a true leader, those are the things he would be saying. And I correct me if I'm wrong, Scorekeeper, I have not heard him say that yet. So that's the bigger issue with leadership right now with the New York Giants. Nobody is willing to take – there's too much finger pointing. There's not enough of, hey, it's my fault. You know, I'm responsible. I'm going to take the blame. You know, stop worrying about your damn image. Who the hell cares? You know – people will respect you more if you just take the blame and find a way to fix it. Because when people
No, I'm sorry. I had that thought. Sorry, Cuervo. No, finish that. Take the blame and
thing going in the right direction again. Because when they do start winning, guess what? People may look at it as, well, you know, he took the blame and he fixed it. So I think that's the biggest issue right now with the New York Giants as far as leadership. It's just too much finger pointing and nobody's willing to take accountability.
Yeah, Cuervo, that is so right. You've got to take leadership. And even when it's not your fault, being willing in that position to publicly say, I'm the one at fault, that takes heat off the guys that are really having the issues, and you just make sure you correct it. I mean, Cuervo, We grew up in team sports. The job you have, the job that I have, Cuervo, if someone screws up, you pull them aside when people aren't looking and you correct them. You get them on the right path, and you work it out. It is rare when you have to actually do it on the field or in the office or whatever. There are times when it's called for, but usually you pull someone inside and you fix it. And Manning doesn't look to be doing that. I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't see it either, scorekeeper. And, I mean, everybody tries to anoint Eli Manning as this great leader because, well, he's got 2 Super Bowl rings. Well, yeah, it's because he's had dominating defenses. You know, I've said this before in the past, too. We won't even factor the year and a half that Peyton Manning's been a Denver Bronco. Let's just take his years in Indianapolis. If you put Eli Manning on the Indianapolis Colts and you put Peyton in New York, how many Super Bowl rings do the New York Giants win?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Think about it. I mean, think about it, scorekeeper. With the defense that Eli Manning has had, you put Peyton in his situation? Oh, my goodness. I mean, you're talking about 4 or 5 rings. I mean, I really believe that. That's how good that defense was for a while when Michael Strahan was still with the New York Giants, when Justin Tuck was playing well, when, you know, they had some of those linebackers that they had in the past. I mean, my God, you put Peyton Manning with the leadership that he brought to that team? Boy, I mean, nobody would be able to stop that New York Giants team. Peyton Manning with the New York Giants would have won 3 Super Bowls easily. Without even trying, they would have won 3 Super Bowls.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. We're stuck with the game that we're stuck with, Minnesota. I believe they're, what, 1-4 against the New York Giants, which are 0-6. Great comments there, Cuervo. If Eli Manning would have had a much stronger defense, yeah, I think there would have been clearly there might have been a few rings there. But, hey, you know what? We are dealt we're dealt the hands that we're given. And I think – okay, Cuervo. Let's say his career ends right now. Is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer right now, today, this moment?
Well, that's a tough question, scorekeeper. I mean, his 2 Super Bowl rings definitely help. I'll tell you that. They definitely help a lot.
Okay, stop right there. Peyton Manning, right now, this exact moment, is he a Hall of Famer?
Oh, hands down, of course. I mean, I don't even think that's a question.
Okay. This is the only time I'm ever going to entertain this commentary. And because, look, Cuervo, it's just, I don't want to say anything till the player is done. Because you know, the minute you declare something of someone, they end up stabbing you in the back by either testing positive or doing something really stupid. And they end up just dropping off the face of the map. And that's why I don't give anyone until it is worthy of it. Look, Mariano Rivera is gone. I'm willing to entertain that conversation now. Is he a Hall of Famer? You bet damn right he is. Okay. He's done. You never know what could have happened. And he still could. Something could happen, but fine. In the case of these guys, let's ignore my commentary about whether they're not eligible or not, or whether they haven't played enough. Peyton Manning has been so damn good for so long. He is a winner. He's had the luck that was given to him, or he was dealt the hand that he was dealt, and he has still done so well. Eli took advantage of his opportunities. It could have been the exact same way for Peyton, right, Cuervo? Yeah?
No, go ahead. I'm trying to understand what you're asking.
Yeah, it's very convoluted. Eli made the pass to win the game against the Patriots. They won. Some people are forever going to say it was lucky. You know what? His receiver caught the ball. Wasn't Peyton in a similar situation where the pass was dropped and he could have won the same thing?
Oh, well, I mean, there was a lot of situations where he was so close to, you know, winning, or, I mean, even in the Super Bowl against the New Orleans Saints. I mean, they were driving the ball, and if you remember, that's when he, you know, the Saints picked him off and took it to the house.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there was a lot of close calls with Peyton, and, you know, I think that, you know, Eli's, I guess you could say, I guess maybe if this is where you're going with it, Eli's had luck on his side a little bit more than Peyton has. I mean, Peyton definitely went through a lot more growing pains than Eli did. I mean, Eli, I wouldn't say instant success, but once the Giants got good, they didn't first round and they got eliminated. I mean, they went straight to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's what it was. So, I mean, Eli had luck on his side a little bit more than Peyton did. There was definitely more growing pains for Peyton than there was for Eli.
I would think so, Cuervo. And now the luck is just not there. And he's lived off luck all this time, and now that things are not going as well, he doesn't know how to handle it. And I think that's one of the most significant things right there. Peyton handled adversity.
Yeah, and scorekeeper, I want you to watch it tonight, okay? If Eli throws a pick, okay, and you can go back to the film from earlier this season, I want you to look at Eli's body language. The guy is terrible when it comes to body language. When Peyton throws an interception, I screwed up. All right, let's go get him next time. Eli will sit there and he'll make these faces and he'll throw his arms up. And it's just, he's such a damn whiner. Dude, you threw an interception. Get over it. And you have to have really good short-term memory loss when you're a quarterback in the NFL. You have to forget about your mistakes and move on. And Eli doesn't know how to do that. That's why it continues with him. And I'm telling you, scorekeeper, watch it tonight. I want you, if you forget everything I tell you, there's one thing I do want you to remember tonight for tonight's game. When Eli makes mistakes, I want you to watch his body language. That'll tell you everything you need to know.
You know, Cuervo, you've mentioned that in the past. You and I are on the same page on this. When he makes those gestures, he's showing up his frustration, but the guy that was on the wrong end of this, you know, takes it personally because he's being shown up by his quarterback. And that is that is not good for the team. When Peyton does what he does, he's, yeah, you know, I did it, blah, blah, blah. And hell, even we've joked about it on this program. I'm like, yeah, I'm responsible. There's no responsibility with Peyton. None. I mean, with Eli. When he takes responsibility, then he's going to get to the level of Eli, of Peyton. And otherwise, this is going to be a pathetic year for them because he's not taking responsibility, and he needs to.
Exactly. And like I said, scorekeeper, throwing your arms up and pouting and making these faces, like somebody's going to feel sorry for you. Nobody's going to feel sorry. This is the NFL, dude. You know, everybody's making millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars. Nobody feels sorry for you. You make a mistake, nobody's going to pat you on it. Oh, poor Eli. It's not going to happen. Go out there and be a man. You know, suck it up. Go out there and try it again.
That's what
he has to do.
You know what? And that's what America's about, dude. You get knocked down, you get up again, right? We love that crap. Because that's who we are. But when you're sissy about it, when you're a crybaby, yeah, we don't have time for that. We don't have time for whiners. We really don't. And Eli, dude, you got to get your act together. Because we've seen you do it. We prefer to see you win. Because we hate it when you lose. Because you look bad. And that's what it is, right? I think that's why we're coming down on him. Because he's just not good at what he does right now. And it's being a leader. You got to be a leader. And he's not it.
No, and it's because of the fact that he is not – he's pointing the finger in other places. He's not going to come out and say it, but I guarantee you, behind closed doors, that's exactly what's going on. Look at his body language, scorekeeper. That's all I'm going to say.
We're going to be doing that, folks. Right now, both Cuervo and I are leaning to Minnesota, and, of course, Brian – is looking for the Giants to do well. So I'm actually going against Brian on this one. Had a hell of a week ago. I was with Brian on almost all of them, did very well, but this time I went on my own, and what happened? I think I lost them all. I got Pittsburgh, right, Cuervo?
Hey, good job, scorekeeper.
I kind of figured that one would happen. I was hoping.
Yeah, I did too. I picked the Steelers.
Yeah, it was good. Ladies and gentlemen, the whiny wench is telling us we're down to a few seconds. Football begins in how many minutes, Cuervo? 11 minutes?
Yeah, I'd say about 10.
All right.
There.
Well, there it is, Cuervo. I want to thank you for this. Hopefully next week's game is going to be good, but I'm hoping to do this again next week, and hopefully we won't have the same issues that we had this last time.
Yeah, scorekeeper, let's make a habit of this. I think I like Monday shows. You know, next week we'll try to recap some of the games a little bit more, Sunday's games. And, you know, obviously we'll talk about the Monday night game. But next week we should definitely talk a little bit more about the Sunday games. Yeah.
Folks, we're looking at 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Central, or at 4:30, 6:30, depending. But we should go at 4. That's the whiny wench telling us we're gone. For Cuervo, I'm the scorekeeper. Monday Night Football. You guys have a great time. We're out of here. Peace.